everyone, and welcome to the post-NHL draft edition of your Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Chris Bowden, flying solo, and we're going to keep this one pretty simple, letting you hear from Stan Bowman, scouting boss Mark Kelly, who joined us to preview the draft in last week's podcast, as well as the Hawks' two first-round draft picks from Friday night. Then we'll wrap up with the three notable transactions made during the draft, as well as a couple of other Hawks-related matters. But Friday night began with Buffalo and Carolina, as expected, taking, respectively, Swedish defenseman Rasmus Dahlin and OHL sniper Andrei Svechnikov. Then the intrigue began, and Montreal decided to go with the 17-year-old Finnish center who really shot up most draft boards over the last couple of months by the name of Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Ottawa at four then selected winger Brady Tkachuk, following in the NHL footsteps of brother Matthew and father Keith, but Brady may still go to college this coming season. The next big surprise was Arizona at five. They went with center Barrett Hayton, who was projected by many to go perhaps in the 10 to 20 range, so a guy that might have been the third most NHL-ready talent in this class, Czech winger Philip Zadina from Halifax of the Quebec Major Junior League. He slipped to Detroit at six, and the Wings grabbed him. That would start a trend that the Hawks' former arch-rival would have for the first couple of days. We'll get into that later. Now, that meant the remaining top four very talented defensemen after Dahlin were still on the board at 7 and 8 for the Canucks and Hawks, not to mention goal-scoring winger Oliver Wahlstrom from the U.S. National Development Program. Everyone in the world expected Vancouver to begin replenishing a thin blue line in their organization, and that's exactly what they did. Their choice was Quinn Hughes, the University of Michigan product, who was the only college player on the U.S. World Championship roster, along with Patrick Kane and three of his other Hawks teammates on that U.S. squad. So Wahlstrom and three more highly regarded D-men were still there for Stan Bowman. The vice president and GM went with 5'11 right-handed shooting defenseman Adam Boqvist, who won't turn 18 until next month, and he has a contract to play this coming season for Brynäs Super Elite in Sweden. That's where he scored 14 goals and added 10 assists in 25 games last season. Now, scouts rave about his playmaking skills with his vision and his passing, and most think he has the best shot and release of the D-men in this year's class, so kind of an Erik Karlsson comp is there, and Boqvist doesn't really back down from that. Yes, it's still quite early, folks. Take a breath. But he was voted the best defenseman in the world under 18 championships. He has a style that fits the way the game is trending, and many believe he may have the highest ceiling of all the D-men in that group, aside from Dahlin. But he knows he's at least 2 or 3 years away, and there are some things that he has to work on.
I think I need to improve my defensive play and need to be bigger and stronger. And, yeah, of course, my offensive can be better too, so almost everything.
What do you know about the Blackhawks and how they fit their style?
Yeah, I know they have lots of Swedish defensemen. Yeah, they play pretty offensive and like to have the puck, you know, Kane, so yeah, I like it.
Adam's brother Jesper is a winger drafted in the second round by New Jersey a year ago here in Chicago, where Adam joined him and his family at the United Center. The Hawks then had to wait a couple hours before their second slot in the first round came about at number 27. That's the pick they acquired at the trade deadline from Nashville in the Ryan Hartman deal. And they went defense again, this time 5'11 left-handed shot Nicolas Beaudin. No, not Beaudin, Beaudin. And I can't wait for my first Beaudin interview sometime soon. He collected 12 goals and 69 points in 68 games this past season in juniors for Drummondville of the Quebec League. Scouts project him as a power play quarterback type with composure, awareness, and decision making. Not as high a dynamic ceiling as Boqvist, but a bit stronger in his own end. And he's not lacking for confidence, as you'll hear here either, after the media in Dallas asked him what he knows about the Hawks organization.
I know it's a winning culture in Chicago. They want a lot. I know they've got some young guys coming in. So for sure in the next few years, I want to do my place. And I'm going to try to learn a lot from a guy like Duncan Keith.
How do you describe your game?
I'm a two-way defenseman. I can provide offense too. So, I've got a great IQ and I think in my zone I'm just getting better and better.
Is there a player you try to monitor game after?
I like Tori Krug. I think he's not the biggest guy, but he can skate well. He's got a little meanness. He's mean in his game, and I think if I can become like him, it's just going to be good for me.
So in the last two drafts, the Hawks have selected four D-men over the first two rounds. This year's Bobos, Boquist and Boden, and they join Henry Jokiharju and Ian Mitchell from a year ago. And if the scouting staff has these high investments right, we're seeing the future of the Hawks' blue line, albeit a few years down the road. Bowman does not envision either of these picks making the Hawks for at least a couple of years. He explained Friday night how he would wind up with two more D-men.
Coming into the draft, we're just looking for the best, you know, value players we had, like the guys we had ranked the highest at those spots, and it just so happened they were both defensemen, so which is great because it's a very important position. I think, you know, they're the highest value assets. You know, calling around this week about potential trades and looking for players and the hardest things to find. So, we didn't draft them just because they were defensemen, but we like both of their style of play, their skill set. I think they both play the modern NHL game. They both have bright futures.
When you have a pick that high, is it hard to pass up on a guy who might be more of an instant impact? I mean, Boquist thinks he's still a couple years out. Is it hard to play the long game when you have a pick that high?
Yeah, when we say the long game, I don't think it's like 6 years away. You know, I think it's, they both probably need a little bit of development, but they've got some high-end talent. I had a chance to see both of them play this year a couple times each, and you walk away, you know, impressed. Like, you don't have to really look for these guys in the game. If you went and you didn't know who anybody was, they sort of stand out and you notice them because they do some pretty unique things with the puck. And, that's what the game is trending towards. And, it was really easy to like them when you watched them play.
Were you surprised Boquist was there at eight, the way things played out?
That was right around where we were hoping we were going to get him. And I'm pleasantly surprised, I guess, but not shocked. I think, you know, the first, you know, 7-8 picks went sort of how we expected. So, we were just hoping that nobody was going to grab him. So it worked out well.
What did you learn about him as a person throughout your process?
He likes to compare himself to Erik Karlsson quite a bit, which is good. And when you watch him play, he's got that style to his game. You know, I think you can see he sort of patterns his game after Erik, and but he's honest too. He says, "I know I'm not Erik Karlsson, but I want to be my own player, but I like the way that he plays." So a very likable guy, upbeat kid, loves to play the game, and he's got a passion for hockey, and that's something that's always important because, you know, they're gonna have to, you know, work their way up, and nothing comes easy for players, even guys drafted this high. But you can tell he's got a desire to keep getting better and to make it to the NHL.
Having taken Jokiharju and Ian Mitchell early last year, do you have to weigh that at all, having, I guess, two right-handed shots and kind of the pipeline now? Or?
No, we're trying to find the best players, whether they're right-handers or left-handers. I mean, righties are hard to come by, so the fact that we have a few of them now, that's a great sign, but it's not a bad thing at all.
Are there any concerns of Adam's injury history and whether that carries over to the NHL?
No, that's not a concern for us.
Is there a logjam in the trade market right now because of the free agency uncertainty of guys that may or may not be available? Is that why we're seeing maybe less movement this year?
That could be it. I don't really know why. That's probably a pretty good theory on why it's happening, but there hasn't been really much activity at all. So I guess we'll find out over the next few days when the interview period opens up and teams are able to talk to players. They'll get a better feel for whether they could land that player or not, and if they can't, maybe they'll be turning towards trades a little bit more. So that makes sense. It's possible.
Organizationally, do you like where, I guess, you guys defensemen are-wise, left-handed and right-handed throughout now? Or?
Yeah, we have a number of guys turning pro this year in Rockford, and we have a lot of young defensemen there. And like I said just at the outset, it's the position that probably, other than goalie, it takes the longest to develop those guys. So it's not like they're all going to make the NHL at the same time. So some of them have different time horizons. But, it's so hard to trade for them. And we talk about this during the year that if you don't draft them and develop them, then you're going to just have a hard time finding them. So they're all going to have their different time horizon to the NHL. you know, when you have a number of them, then, you know, that all sort of works itself out when who comes first.
What's stood out about Nicholas for you?
Nicholas is he's a very efficient defender. He's got a really nice skill set. He makes the game look pretty easy. He's a smooth player. Not a lot of panic to his game. You know, he's a good skater, so that when he has to turn back and get to the puck, he can get there first. And he just gets a setup, makes a simple play. And, you know, you watch him play, and he makes it look really easy. Like, he's not a guy that's getting run over a lot. He's not a real big player, but he uses his brain really well. And he had over a point a game, too, so he's got a good feel for, you know, making plays and scoring points.
The Hawks had six more picks on day two, and after sitting through round two without a selection, they went with a pair of forwards in round three. Center Jake Wise from the U.S. National Development Program, for whom he had 9 goals and 28 points in 18 games. He'll head to Boston University in the fall. He goes 5'10", 195. Scouts have generally described him as a very two-way center, playmaker, good hands, skates well, but may need some improved foot speed off of his first or second step. Then they moved up 13 spots from their other third-rounder, swapping it with Arizona while also giving up their fifth-rounder to pick 5'9" winger Nicholas Nordgren. Now, six different services had Nordgren rated from 21 to 62, so at 74, there may have been good value for a kid regarded as a sniper and playmaker who needs a little more bulk despite collecting 42 points in 28 games in junior play overseas. With the 120th overall pick in round four, the Hawks selected forward Philip Kurashev from the Quebec Juniors, collecting 19 goals, 60 points in 59 games. Hawks moved back into the fifth round by sending next year's number five to Montreal, that in order to tab center Mikhail Hakkarainen, who played a handful of games for the Chicago Steel back in 2017. He had 46 points in 36 games for Muskegon of the USHL. He's slated to play at Providence College next season. And back to the Quebec Major Juniors, Halifax specifically. The Hawks went in round six to select a goalie, 6'3" German native Alexis Gravel. Then the Hawks' final pick in round seven was left winger Josiah Slavin. He's the brother of Hurricanes player Jacob Slavin, and he had 23 goals and 41 points for Lincoln of the USHL. He'll stay home to attend Colorado College this fall. So now, that being said, let's get an entire weekend recap from the man behind all of those picks and the man who's seen these players for a long time already. That's Vice President of Amateur Scouting, Mark Kelly.
Feeling good. Good. Good day yesterday. Followed up with a real good day today.
Well, what about Boquist did you like?
Just his ability to impact the game. You know, he's just so creative, makes fast plays.
Did you guys have to weigh a lot of decisions with that eighth pick, or who was left on the board?
Well, I mean, the only decision was we were unsure what was going to happen ahead of us, so that was really the only, we were just waiting to see how it played out.
Are you surprised how it played out?
To some degrees, yes, to some degrees, no. I mean, it's. I think the pool of players this year. I think everyone knew who was going 3 to 12. Everyone had in a different order, so we were just kind of waiting to see who was playing what. I think the one thing that maybe surprised a lot of us was the fact that Zadina didn't land in the 3 spot, and then it was just waiting to where he settled.
What sticks out to you about Baudin's game?
His instincts. He's really good with the puck. His positioning and his ability to move the puck, the transition game, is very good.
How has your philosophy over the years changed on size? A lot of 5'11", 5'9 kind of guys you've drafted the last few years.
Well, the philosophy, I think, has changed the fact that the defenseman has to get back quick and has to be able to move the puck quick. So it's really, I think it's a product of the game.
Is it important to try to get a goalie in this draft, and what do you like about it?
Well, he's going to have a great situation. They're going to host the Memorial Cup next year, so you know, we're expecting a big year out of him. He's been a good goaltender. This year, we saw him play some really good games. He's in a good spot. We like the opportunity for him.
The last question. Are there downsides to having defensemen that aren't 6'2", 6'3"? They don't have that big reach, that physicality?
Well, the physicality is always nice, but the game is getting so fast that sometimes that physicality is not there. There's plenty, you know, there's six defensemen, so you can still have physicality back there. Somebody has to be able to move the puck. Somebody can be physical.
So Volk was different enough from Yoki Haru and Mitchell that I mean, you guys, I guess, would add another right-handed shot? And
sure. I think that, you know, when we're drafting, we're not looking at the depth chart and where people are. We're looking at the player we think can really have, you know, the best chance to make the best impact.
You guys moved up for Nicholas Nordgren. I know he has a good offensive game, but can you tell us a little bit more about him?
He has great instincts around the net. He has a really good stick in traffic. I think if you look him and track his goals, you'll find they're goal scorer goals. He gets in the dirt. You know, he's not afraid, and he's just got a really great release.
What do you like about Jake Wise?
Jake Wise, he's just a really smart two-way centerman. He had a great start to the season, and then he missed sometimes. And it was ironic when he came back. It was the same time that Jack Hughes joined the team, and all of a sudden they had a number one, number two center, and the team really took off.
Opa's injury history, did that ever concern you as a scout?
Well, I think you always take into account the injury history, but you know, we consult with Doc Terry and what have you, and we're very confident going forward.
What do you like with Slavin when you go on the roster?
Slavin, we like the project there. You know, we think where he is on the curve, he's going to play another year and then go to Colorado College. We just like the whole project.
Philip, I forgot his last name already.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on him?
Well, he's an interesting one. He's of Russian parents, grew up in Switzerland. His dad played in Switzerland, and then he's come over, played the last year up in Quebec. Really smart, skilled defense centerman, but he's really strong on his skates. We thought he had a really good year this year. We think he's better acclimated. We expect him to have a real good year this year coming back.
And then Hakkarainen?
Hakkarainen, yeah. He played in Muskegon, going to Providence College. I think what attracted us to him was when you went and saw him play, he got on the score sheet, but even if he wasn't on the score sheet, you noticed him play. He played hard, 200 foot.
Now, you heard Kelly mention early on that they had the names that went 3 through 12, right? It's just the order that was the great unknown. And that, at least at first glance by a lot of people, seemed to play positively into the hands of the aforementioned Red Wings and the New York Islanders. Now, not only did Detroit get Philip Zadina at 6, but they had 3 picks between 30 and 36. And they wound up with 3 players that were projected by a lot of people to go higher in center Joe Valeno, forward Jonathan Berggren, and defenseman Jared McIsaac. Now, the Islanders, after hiring Barry Trotz earlier in the week, they had the 11th and 12th picks back-to-back. They wound up with Wahlstrom and another of the top 5 blue line prospects in Noah Dobson. They later added former Chicago Mission defenseman Bodie Wild from the U.S. Development Program. Now all they have to do is re-sign John Tavares. Speaking of which, Tavares will reportedly spend the week leading up to July 1 free agency meeting with 5 teams besides the Islanders. Stan Bowman would not say Saturday whether the Hawks would be one of them, though a lot of national speculation seems to think that they may not be. Stan also must decide by Monday whether to bring back 2 remaining restricted free agents of his own who remain unsigned, those being Anthony DeClaire and Thomas Yurko. And Joe Quenneville on Friday revealed that Corey Crawford has not been skating. But like Bowman, he remains optimistic that Crawford will be ready to go for camp, indicating the goalie will be back in time, in town sometime soon, to presumably work out with some other Hawks players. Finally, there were 3 noteworthy NHL-level transactions over the 2 days, all involving other Western Conference teams. The LA Kings won the Ilya Kovalchuk sweepstakes, signing the former number 1 overall pick to a 3-year contract worth about $19 million. That, after the 36-year-old played the last 5 seasons in the KHL. Before the draft Friday, Colorado acquired Capitals goalie Philip Grubauer, who started and lost the first 2 games of Washington's Cup run before Braden Holtby regained the net. Joe Sakic, the Avs GM, said that Grubauer will split playing time with Semyon Varlamov, who is a free agent, a year from now. Now, that also indicates that Jonathan Bernier would be hitting the market sometime soon in free agency to add to the goaltender pool. Finally, in a move that could open the way for a trade involving defenseman Justin Falk, whom some are tying with the Blackhawks, Carolina acquired defenseman Dougie Hamilton, Michael Ferland, and defense prospect Adam Fox from the Flames. D-man Noah Hanifin and center Elias Lindholm reunite with ex-Canes coach Bill Peters in Calgary. Both of those guys are restricted free agents. It is just the start of wheeling and dealing that will likely include some Blackhawks action. And that's when our next Blackhawks Crazy podcast will come your way after the initial July 1st wave of free agency. Look for that sometime on the 2nd when Scott King will rejoin me. Until then, be sure to follow the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page on Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. That's where you can find Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog, which is also on WGNRadio.com. And you can stay up to date on things by following me on Twitter. I'm at BowdenTweets, and Scott, who is at Scott King Media. And as always, subscribe to the show on iTunes so it's ready for you with every fresh edition. And be sure to leave a review. Thanks to Joe Romano for his assistance in piecing this together, and to you for listening and subscribing. I'm Chris Bowden, and we'll look to visit next with you again on the 2nd.